Stephen Dill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. Happy Friday. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I am Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from beautiful, sunny Southern California.
It is perfect today.
It is.
Today, Jill and I talk about the three biggest roadblocks in creating real estate wealth that we see. And we are actually qualified to do this show.
Because we
deal with a lot of people.
And we've had
at all different levels.
Yeah. And we've been there.
Yeah.
That's even better.
And we've experienced all these roadblocks.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, experience them all the time.
Yeah.
As far as you get, there's still stuff that stands in the way.
Totally.
It's kind of the norm, actually. Stuff standing in the way is a norm. Why is that so funny?
I don't know. It's just funny.
Before we get into why Jill's laughing, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free. She laughs all the time, by the way.
I do.
She wakes up laughing.
Thank you.
It's really
loud. Not for the reasons that you might be thinking.
Oh, my God.
No. Matt asks.
She's laughing at me.
No, I'm not. Matt asks, I have a deal that is 0.11 acres near a lake.
I like it.
I've got it under contract for $1,000. And I haven't seen anything sell less than $3,500.
Congratulations.
In the last 3 years, with most selling for $5,000 to $7,000. This is starting out fantastic. This lot is a bit of a jungle, though, with lots of landscaping to make it buildable, I imagine. Considering the lot is only 50 feet by 100 feet, would you pass on this deal? I imagine that if it costs a lot of money to clear the lot, then its resale value is shot. Thanks for the advice. I'm new to the group, so sorry if I'm posting in the wrong location. I'm still figuring out the forums. That's cute.
This is good.
Good, Matt.
So the three rules of real estate are, go ahead. Location, location, location. And if you have notice they're not size, location, location, or location, location, size. They're location, location, location. So would you rather have 0.11 acres near a lake with a lot of foliage on it?
Cheap.
Or 80 acres in the middle of the desert that you need a helicopter to get to? Which one, Joe?
Let me think. The first one.
Right. So this is a deal that I would do. I would look at it on Google Earth and probably just do the deal.
Yeah, based on the numbers you just gave us, Matt, I would have been like, yep, I'm in.
And 50 by 100 feet, I'll tell you, where we live is not 50 by 100 feet.
That's true.
Lot smaller than that. So that's our primary residence, by the way. So don't let the size fool you here. But what I would do, and I don't want to be overzealous about buying this property, is I would look on Google Earth and see what's around it, immediately around it. If all the other lots are 50 by 100 and a few of them have structures on them, and everybody in the area or some people in the area have figured it all out, the utility piece and the whole thing, that's a run-to-the-bank situation. This isn't a run-to-the-bank situation, but this is, let's get it into our medium rotation.
It could be, if it's, you don't need, clearing a spot for a cabin, clearing a spot for a tiny home, clearing a spot for an RV, you mean all that stuff? None of that's crazy.
It shouldn't even enter into your mind, and here's why.
Yeah.
What you're going to resell is a story that someone is going to pay for, and they're going
to
do all
that.
Exactly. If someone wants a perfectly cleared lot with a lake view and the whole thing, now it's not $3,000.
Yeah.
Now it's 30.
Exactly.
And you don't want to go down that path. You just want to burn through your acquisition templates.
And I tell people, too, I'm passing the savings on to them. We could do that. And, I've done that. Well, here's the deal. I could do all that stuff, sure. But now I'm not selling it to you for $3,500. Now I'm selling it to you for $12,000. Do you want that? Or do you want it for $3,500? You do the work and save the money. Oh, that's what they want.
Would you rather buy a diamond that's all unpolished and has been neglected for 10 years and is the bottom of somebody's jewelry box for $5,000, or one that's all shiny, polished, and off of Fifth Avenue in New York for $35,000? Which one, Joe?
Exactly. And it's the same stone.
It's the same thing with real estate. Exactly the same thing. So if somebody expects you to deliver a $35,000 product for $5,000, then move on to the next buyer.
Exactly. Good property, sounds like. Awesome.
Jewelry analogy. Everyone understands the jewelry analogy.
You do that for me, I guess.
Today's topic, the three biggest roadblocks that we see people experiencing creating their own wealth in real estate. This is the meat of the show. I know Jill, before we started, wrote down her own roadblocks, and I wrote mine down. We have separate lists, so I'd love to hear yours first.
Can we go first? Okay. The first roadblock that I think people come across is personal. They are either scared, they're in their own heads, not sure they can do this, or they're complacent in their jobs. They think they want to do it, but it's all personal, and it's emotional, and they have to mentally get there. That's my number one.
That's actually my number two. And I'll tell you, I've had very bright people come to me and say, in a constructive criticism way about how we teach, mm-hmm. have had them say to me, it's really hard for me to get my head around this because you guys make it sound so easy and you do it every day. And so when I fail at it, it's going to make it three times as bad.
You got to be ready for it. That's a bummer. You got it. And that's a good point. We talk about this all the time. Just plan for a mistake. And then you're not going to be surprised and it's going to be fine. You're going to recover and move on.
Yeah, go into it thinking that you're going to take it two or three or four times, but the system works.
Can I tell you what my staff just did the other day? Here's a doozy of a mistake. Oh my God. And it's a deed thing. Of course, anybody who's in this knows these things happen. Somewhere along the process, somebody forgot the word trustee.
How's that possible?
And there's a trust. I don't know.
You mean copying the legal over?
Yeah. No, it was... Well, yeah. And it was... That's exactly right. It was...
That's ridiculous.
They just put the names on the people and forgot the trustee. Well, here's what happened. So the property was sold. Oh, and then it was resold.
Oh, jeez.
So now we're going to go back to transactions and redo this stuff. It's not the end of the world. We can fix this. But it happens.
You're exactly right. That's a perfect... And then did you get it all fixed with corrected deeds?
Well, it's in the process right now with a corrected deed.
That's a perfect example of, are you going to let something like that... Are you going to... Let it break you down.
Right.
And bring you to your knees and sit... I say this to the kids all the time. If you get a bad grade, does it mean you're a stupid person?
No.
Or does it mean you just didn't study this one time because you had something else to do and you're not going to do it again?
It's fine.
So just how many corrective deeds
yeah.
I've done
right.
in my career.
Thank you. That's it. And it was like, what's funny is I want everybody to know this is going to happen. The transaction was from January. This is now April. You can have things get recorded and get in the system and you think it's going through and then it hits on the last person's desk, often the assessor, and they go, oh, this isn't right. But it went through all the other channels.
If you're doing your own deeds in this business, sometimes it just ends up happening. Without using a title agent, you're going to make some mistakes.
Exactly.
The title agents make mistakes. They make more mistakes than you do. So that's just, you accept it and you laugh about it.
Perfect.
And the best thing you can do is when this ends up, did you talk to the assessor or the recorder, Jill?
The assessor. It was the assessor.
So that's even better because the assessor usually has a slight sense of humor about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're seeing it a year later or 7 months later.
Exactly.
The recorder, not so much, but the humor.
They don't even look. They just put a stamp on it and send it through.
So, you got to pull a Jill. You got to laugh and say, oh, my gosh, I'm sorry. I'm dropping everything. I'm going to help you. What can I do? Can I send you a cake? What would you like?
How do we fix this?
Yeah.
That's it. So that's the thing. So one of the things about, okay, so it's all personal. That's the first biggest roadblock. Plan for mistakes. Confidence. You got to get confidence.
Confidence. Does that fall into your number one there?
No, I mean, it isn't my number one. Yeah,
me too.
I'm just thinking
that
about it right now.
That was my number two also.
It's all in your head.
So it's all emotion. Emotion, like Tony Robbins is famous for saying that. This is the single thing that trips everybody up to accomplishing whatever it is emotion.
Yeah.
You just got to get through it.
I believe it. It's true. You're right.
You got to put blinders on like a horse and concentrate on what you're working on that minute.
Exactly.
And put it into some big system you've created and you're all set.
Yep.
That's what we talk about in the Land Academy and all the Academy programs.
Yep. Want to know my number two?
Yeah.
Others not supportive.
Oh, you know what? That's my number one.
That happens. So you.
I'd call it life stuff.
Well, that's important too. Life stuff getting in the way, I get it. But also, sometimes you don't have the right person in your life that's that supportive. And it doesn't really matter what idea you're bringing to them, they're not supportive. And it might be your fifth idea that you've tried, and it doesn't mean not try. You know, I mean, that happens too.
This is my fifth idea,
yeah.
At least.
Do you know what?
This is probably my eighth idea.
That's a good point. This is not, I mean.
And I failed at side businesses after I started real estate.
And a lot of people, hello, that's normal. It should be that way. If you know, if you never fail at something, I would question how hard you really tried at some things.
If you talk to any published author, they all say, oh, I've got like 22 books that I'm still writing, but for whatever reason, this one took off and, you know, that's the one you know me about. But no, I've got 22, working on 22 other books, and probably one or two of them will only ever get published.
Right.
You or gotta three try of like them 19 sucked. Things.
You know what I mean? That too. I got published and they sucked.
Right.
And then this one, I figured it out. You know, whatever it was, that's okay too.
If it's in your soul and you're passionate about it, you're going to write 22 books and one of them people are going to like.
Well, my thing is too, sometimes you have to, it's a tough one. You have to figure out what you want to share with other people, because there are people out there, no matter what, you know, they just aren't supportive. Even like as simple as a diet, because you know, if you're coming, hey, I'm going to get in shape, and yeah, all right, we've heard it all before. You're going to join the gym, and now we're going to be spending an extra $50-$100 a month on a gym that you're never going to go
to. Where does that come from?
I don't know, but people
do
that.
It makes me mad.
I know, but there are people out there, and they are like that. They think they're being realistic, is what they say. I've heard that. And you know what? And you have to, it's all got to come from you. So what I've learned is
tragic.
I know. And I just don't share it with those people. I know who are my supportive people, and I share stuff with them, selective things. And some people, I don't share stuff at all because I know how they're going to tell me. And I don't want them to mess with my mojo. I got this.
Almost anything's possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, what's your number three?
My number three is the third biggest roadblock creating real estate wealth is sometimes there are realistic things in your way that you need to finish first. Like, for example, you got to keep your day job, you're paying off some debt, you're a year away, maybe, whatever it is. It's realistic. Sometimes there's things that you shouldn't jump ship yet and start something else without finishing that thing. Maybe, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Maybe you're finishing off paying for your college. Maybe you're almost done getting your PhD, or who knows what it is. I don't know. And this has come along. You've already invested so much in it. I would say be realistic. Finish that thought or that whatever it is, then make the transition. So, because you want to do this right.
I mean, that's good advice. That's really person specific and situation specific. Because if you're like,
I'm just saying, there might be something realistic that you need to do first. That's it, and do it.
Yeah.
Don't be stupid here. Don't make rash decisions. Make smart decisions.
My number three is once you get into it.
Yeah.
I see people fail, and I see this. The most intelligent people that I see fail at this are it's because of follow through.
Ah. Why is
There's
that?
There's a lot of reasons for lack
just,
of
like, throw their
through.
Hands up, like, oh, well, I can't do this then.
I think it's a time commitment. Oh. I've seen some extremely bright people get into this and think that it's going to happen in a weekend.
Ah.
They're usually younger.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all in their head and they don't really want to succeed. I believe, you know, I thought a lot of this before I met you was a bunch of crap, quite honestly.
I know.
All this head stuff. But you know
I'm
what?
So glad
it's true.
I came along.
Came along. There's Jill skipping out of the woods with her red dress on and her little basket. She came along.
With a halo on my head.
You're the only person I have ever heard self-described halo over your head.
I'm here to help.
Follow through is a massive problem for a lot of people.
It's true.
And there's a million reasons why it happens, but it happens to all of us. You have to follow through, especially with that first deal.
Dude, it's hard sometimes. I get it.
Here's what I do every day, because I have issues with follow through. I'm behind on our mailers right now. That's the truth. And it's because I get sidetracked with other crap, like IT issues and staffing issues and all kinds of stuff. So my answer to that is this. I put everything in a calendar and I create a system for people under me. Sometimes they're overseas, sometimes they're part of our staff. It gets all systematized, and so I watch them do it. And we pay $3 to $4 an hour for overseas staff to do tasks for us. And if I tell them to do it on Wednesday, because it's in my calendar on Wednesday, on Thursday morning it's done and it's there, and I have to spend 20 minutes on it to get it in the mail. Mm. And even I fail at that follow through sometimes. And that's just the way it is. That is the, my number three is really my number one, the biggest roadblock for me making even more money than we actually make.
Need to stay motivated.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any motivation issues.
I know, I'm joking. I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying in general. Not you. Life. That's what you're saying. Follow through is...
Motivation is not the problem.
I don't think so.
It's organization. It's follow through because lack of organization. And I'm not... Being motivated is not one of my problems.
Well, that's true. But I wasn't talking about you. But that's one of the ways that I describe it for other people sometimes. Other people, I think follow through... might be, you might think differently, and you're allowed to. You think it's different?
I think lack of motivation is a whole... If you're not motivated to succeed in real estate, and you're listening to this, and you're part of the group, or you're not part of the group, or you're thinking about the group, then stop right now. You're not changing your motivation. You need a psychiatrist to do that. And I don't think it's going to happen even after that anyway.
Okay.
Motivation's not... That's just my opinion.
Okay.
You can't say, hey, you know, I think that you're used to, you put on a cheerleader hat sometimes, Shell, which is good for a lot of people around you. But if you have to cheerlead your way into motivating somebody, once you stop cheerleading, it's just going to fall back down to where it was.
Okay.
You don't think so?
No, I guess I just look at it differently. You know what? You and I are it's probably the same concept that we just explain it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Your dissecting things and stuff like that is not how I do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're just different. So you know what? How about this? We can just say it's follow through. However it works for you or whatever you want to call it, you got to figure out a way to stay on the path.
You have to put a system in place and stick with it no matter what happens. And that's way, way harder to do. It's a lot easier to say than to do, especially when there's now a lot of people involved and there's employees who are doing stuff or not doing stuff. And, you know, the truth is, if we didn't have this membership group, these membership groups now, and 19 websites to manage and all that, we'd probably be making a lot more money. Not in life, but I mean, we'd be making a lot more money buying and selling property.
It's true.
In fact, I know that's the case. With probably a lot fewer people and a lot fewer responsibilities.
It's true.
So in a lot of ways, I'm envious of some of the people in our group where all they have to do is buy and sell real estate.
Right.
In a couple of counties.
And we're here to help them.
They don't have to film everything.
They
don't have
to
record shows. They don't have to run 16 websites. I'm a little jealous. I really mean that.
But hold on. We chose this. This is what we want to do.
Yeah.
Remember?
And we can undo it, too. I do remember. And we can knock the wheels off of the thing, too.
I know.
Which will happen at some point.
This is fun.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 20 minutes listening to the Land Academy show. Join us tomorrow for another interesting episode where we talk about taking land orders online, processing acquisitions and sales online versus on the phone. And I bet you can figure out which one's more efficient.
And we answer your question, should you have one, posted on our free online community found from onlandacademy.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. This is a really interesting nebulous topic about why people don't follow through.
Yeah.
Or what the real roadblocks are. You know what we didn't mention is none of them are real estate related. None of them are our lack of the quality of the concept.
It's true. Or how much you know, or how smart you are, or how much money you have.
Nobody's walking around saying, you can't make any money in real estate. It's a bad idea.
That'd be hilarious. That's like the real estate suck.
Oh, no, you can't. That's over.
It's only for the, you know, whatever.
You could have done it in the 80s, but not so much anymore.
That's right.
I mean, I've heard people say stuff like that. Like, oh, yeah, that's classic.
That's good.
I hear some people say, direct mail doesn't work.
Right.
I see it in bigger pockets all the time.
That's hilarious.
It cracks me up.
It is so funny. I love it. Okay, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Steve
Jack and Jill. We're actually Steve and Jill.
Oh, good.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.